And all the time, God is good. I like Pietri as well. Very scriptural. God is good and His mercy endures forever. Where do you see that in the Bible? God is for you. Bible quiz 101. Let me give you a clue. It's New Testament. Come again? That sounds very close. I mean, Romans 8:28 is all things working together for the good. So, but that's just after that. It's just after that. Okay, so that's close enough, Rob. What it also says, what does it also say with God is for you? What does it say? How does it continue? If God is for you, who can be against you? Ne? Hakuna matata. What does that mean? No worries, bro. God is for you. No worries. The Lion King. We've got a better king than the Lion King. We've got the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. This has got to be one of my favorite scriptures to quote on slips at restaurants and stuff like that. John 3:16, because a lot of people know it. Okay, so they know what we're talking about. And it's a reminder. In case you forgot, read that with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved you and you and you and you. The world, we are all part of that. God loves everybody. But you tell yourself now, look at your neighbor and say, God loves me. Now, because you know what? Sometimes we don't believe that. Sometimes you need to repeat it just to get it in there. Say it again. Look at your other neighbor and say, God loves me. Can I ask you guys, is there somewhere in the faculties of your mind a notion that there could be a greater sacrifice that God could have given to demonstrate His love for us, to prove His love for us once and for all time? Is there something more than He could have done to show us the extent of His unconditional, unfailing love towards us? Is there something beyond giving His one and only Son that He could have done? What else could He have done to show us His love? He could have given us each a chest of gold. There you go. When you get born, you get a chest of gold, and there's a letter that says, love you from God. Is that a greater sign of love than giving His one and only Son to die for us? Is there anything more than God could have shown? I don't know. It rattles my brain. I don't think there's anything that can come close to that. And then still some people would question our God, question His character, question, does He really love us? Has He forgotten us? No. If He could do that for us, now you can say it again and know what God did for you. Say, God loves me. Jesus was our substitute offering, sacrifice on our part. The word is propitiation. Substitute offering. He went through what we deserve to receive for our sin. We got what we don't deserve. That is grace. That is mercy. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. So we've got both of those in equal measures. But I'm just taking you on a very short trip. Just wanting to emphasize and reiterate these very important truths so that when we're confronted with doubts and lies of the enemy and circumstance coming against us, that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord, as the Bible says, by remembering these cardinal truths. And when we have these basics, this roadmap in place, I mean, there's many other truths that we emphasize from time to time. But when we have these things in place, then you know what? Then there's actually no lie. In my head and in my spirit, I've got a net and of truths that no lie can penetrate. So yeah, sometimes I can become despondent for a few moments or something like that. But I've got truths that are cemented in my life. God loves me, and we're going to get into some more of those, that it absolutely forms an impenetrable barrier that the enemy can't break through, so that I will never end up in the doldrums of depression by God's grace, because these truths are cemented in my life. And there's a handful you can nominate about. You can make a stone wall with about five truths about who God is and His attributes that no lie of the enemy can penetrate. And you know what? After a while, he gives up on you. The enemy gives up because he knows he can't rattle you, because these truths are so solidly ingrained in your life. And this is one of them. God loves me. God loves me. And if I want to forget that, I can remember that scripture very easy, because that is the greatest demonstration of love of all time. That God would send His one and only Son. Nothing can come close to that demonstration of love. And now in Romans 8 verse 32, that's shortly after the "if God is for us" scripture, we go on and read that He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? And we can ask ourselves that question with Paul. When you're facing a situation and you start wondering, is God going to come through for me here? You know, I'm starting to doubt in God's feelings towards me, or in His ability to help me through the situation. And then I can start telling myself and encouraging myself, but let me put that thought far out of my mind, because that's just crazy. Because He didn't even spare His own Son. Why would I even ask whether He can help me through this situation? Because we ask ourselves sometimes, does God know about my situation? Because it seems like He's forgotten. Because I've been sitting here for a while now. It's like I'm stuck at a station, and I can't break free from this. Does God even know about this in my life? Because I haven't shared it with many people, but does God know about it? Anyone heard the word for all knowing? I'm not going to ask Willem. He knows a lot of stuff. He's almost all knowing. Okay. Anyone else? You know that word. What is the word for all knowing? One word means all knowing. Yes, Rob, you're also clever. Omniscient. Okay. Omniscient. God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows your situation better than what you know your situation. Bible says He knows how many hairs you have on your head. God knows. He knows the thing that you are struggling with. God knows all about it. Okay. Why do we ask ourselves, does God care? Okay, so maybe God knows about my situation. Does He care? Hello? He gave His only Son. Does He care? Yes, He cares. Okay, what if I'm going to sit with this doubt and so on? What else could I ask myself? Because I've just answered the other questions. Maybe I can ask myself, is He able to do something about it? Can God do something about it? Let me ask you this. Is anything too hard for our God? Is anything too hard for Him? What does the Bible say? It says there are things that are impossible for man. But even these things are possible with God. There is nothing that is impossible for God. Nothing is too hard for Him. The Bible says He's willing and He is able. Your situation that you're facing, that seems like a monster of a challenge, a mammoth, a massive mountain. God knows about it. He cares. And He is able to make a mountain move for you. He's able to get you over that mountain. He's able to get you through that mountain, around that mountain. God can do it. But the mountain is not an issue for God. The mountain is no challenge, no match for our God. There's nothing that can come against you that will catch God by surprise, or that will be too difficult for Him. Nothing that you can even conjure up in your mind. No possible circumstance or situation is too hard for our God. I want to encourage you here tonight that you do not need to doubt God for one second. You know, when we do, we're actually just sinning the sin of unbelief. We actually need to repent and say, God, sorry that I actually questioned or doubted in your character for a second there. Because, God, I know you know my situation. I know you care about me. And I know you can change it. So, Lord, what am I missing here? I'm missing something here. God has not been outwitted. He's got your answer. But He's more interested in your character than your comfort. Sometimes things are tough. But God, Romans 8:28, thank you, Rob, will work all of these things together for your good. So sometimes we face challenging situations that we get ourselves into. And God will sometimes allow us to go through it, but He's going through it with us. But He's going to get us out the other side and we're going to be stronger for it. Now I know some of us are struggling with some serious challenges. And I want to encourage you. God knows and He's with you. He's not left you for one second. God doesn't abandon any of His children. God is with you. He goes through the flood and the fire with us, the Bible says. And I'm sure all of us have a testimony of how we know our God has helped us through many a situation in the past. But why is it that sometimes we come across a new situation and then we want to start doubting? No, Jesus is in the boat. He gets up and tells His disciples, "Oh, you of little faith, here I am. Let me show you. Even the wind and the storms obey me." Nothing is too hard for God. Your situation is no match for our King. I want to encourage you tonight. You can take heart and you can take hope. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Draw near to Him. If you've got a challenge, your answer is not out there. Your answer is with God. Draw near to Him. Inquire of Him. Press in. Do what you must so that you can focus on the Lord. Still the voices of the other people and the noise out there and focus on the Lord. Take time out. Focus on the Lord. Go for a walk in the mountains. Go sit by the sea. Get to God. He's got your answer and He'll show you how. And sometimes His answer and His solution and His plan of action isn't an instantaneous thing. More often it's a process. Because sometimes it takes the tough times for us to actually stop, spend time with God. And you know what? He knows you're going to make it, but He knows what's more important than you making it through this immediately is you spending some time with Him. And so He'll take you by the hand and He'll walk you through it slowly until you actually see past the problem and see you actually need the Lord. So we need to stand still once in a while. Very cool scripture, Philippians 1 verse 6. Do I sound confident when I'm saying these things? Because I am. And it's not a fleshly confidence. My confidence is in the Lord because He has done great things in my life. I'm not here today and gone tomorrow. I've been around the block a few times. The Lord has been faithful every time. And I'm not standing here of my own accord. It's what God has done in my life. And I'm confident of this, like Paul said, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on unto completion till the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. God will complete the work He has begun in you. So I love, Rob, thank you for your testimony tonight. Think fast. Put your hand up. Did you save yourself? No hands. Okay. I'm very glad you said that. None of us can save ourselves. None of us saved ourselves. Have you experienced growth in your life? Rob has experienced growth in the last year. He's experienced, he can look back now and see, wow, things have changed in my life. There are aspects of my life where I'm more godly now than a year ago, and he's given glory to God for that. It's not because of his own effort. And we all should be able to testify of that. If we look back in the last year, we can testify, God has done this in my life, he's done that in my life, he's taken me through this challenge, that challenge, my faith has been strengthened and grown. I know Jesus better today than what I knew him a year ago. There's been growth in my life. Now, did you bring about that growth in your life? Was that you? Everything that has happened in your relationship with God and in your process of sanctification since the day you got saved till today, who did that work? Who did that work in your life? God did. Can we change ourselves? Sorry, I tried. You cannot change yourself. You cannot change yourself. Not like God can change you. You can cut your hair. You can go to some motivation courses. You can try a lot of stuff. The devil can change you for the worse. You can delve into magic and all sorts of stuff and you go and end up in a pit. Who's the only one that can save you? Who's the only one that can present you faultless before God? Who's the only one that can sanctify you? That is Jesus Christ. And we see this truth reflected throughout Scripture. And we see it in people's lives around us. If we're in a church and we know a lot of Christians, it serves as encouragement. And when they testify, like Rob, man, today I'm closer, walking a closer walk with Jesus than I was 10 years ago or than I was 20 years ago. And that is encouraging to know. And it bears testimony to the fact God is faithful and what he's done in our lives at that point of salvation, he's faithful to complete in our lives. Salvation is a process, but it doesn't depend on us. Yes, God has asked us to walk with him, to cooperate, to yoke with him, but we aren't doing the work. He's doing all the work. I cannot take glory for the fact, you know, sometimes you hang around or you find yourself at weddings and this kind of thing, and there's a lot of maybe unbelievers there as well. And you know, people will kind of want to pay you compliments. Wow, you're such a good person, and, you know, they admire you for this or that, or, you know, wow, if I knew you were a pastor, I wouldn't have sworn so much or whatever. God did this work in my life. I didn't do it myself. Don't say that I am so good. The Bible says no one is good, only God. And I'm the first to recognize and acknowledge that. He who began a good work in you will complete it. Does God do half jobs? Do you think he's that kind of person? No. Even my father had the sense to teach me, you don't do a job halfway. We had a really big yard in Stellenbosch. They still live there, and they've got these massive plane trees. And in wintertime, they shed all their leaves, and it's like, yo, I don't know if it's like 30 to 50 black bags full of leaves. You know, and I'm a chokkerkie. Ja, gaan hark die blare op, you know. And it's like, you did a good job. You cleared like, you know, half a hectare there. And no, the yard's not that big. But a lot, you know. It's like, yeah, pa, can I go play with my friends? My son, let me teach you a lesson. Yeah. We don't do half jobs. You finish. And then you can go and play with your friends. Oh, Dad. Okay, so God definitely doesn't do half jobs. Does it say there, he who began a good work in you will carry it on until halfway and then let you finish it by yourself? Does it say that? No. I want to encourage you tonight. God is the one who's going to get you to the finish line, not you. It doesn't depend on your own strength. You know what? The Bible says that we are weak, but He's strong. There's even a song about it. Kids learn that song. Come on. Okay, so God will complete the work He has begun in us. It's not us. God will complete it. So take heart, take courage. The thing you are struggling with now, God will do it. He knows about it. He cares about you, and He will do it. He will get you to the finish line. I want to tell you tonight, you don't have to doubt, not for a second. If you find yourself doubting, you find yourself questioning God, just go to Him with that and say, God, I'm sorry. That is the devil putting thoughts in my head. I repent of that, of allowing myself to ponder and meditate on those stupid lies. Lord, forgive me. I know You will complete the work. But Lord, I'm not the one who snaps the finger at You. Do it now. Let God do it in His time. He wants to teach you a million other things besides just getting you through this challenge. He's more interested in your character than your comfort. Stick to it. There's a wonderful English word, stick-to-itiveness. Remember that. Yeah, stick-to-itiveness. Do not give up. Don't give up. Sorry, I was just joking. That was a popular song a long time ago. Willem can do it better, I'm sure. Was I pretty good there? Okay. Don't give up, guys. Do not give up. You've all seen the poster we had in our English class in high school with the stork eating a frog. The frog's head is in the stork's beak, but the frog's hands are around the stork's neck trying to strangle the stork there, you know. Don't give up. Even if it seems like a lost case, you know, with God, it's never a lost case. If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen? Can I have an amen? Are we putting some doubts to bed here tonight? You just settle that in your mind, because you know what? Sometimes the strongest believer, that guy walking the closest to the Lord, you know, even he can get lied to by the enemy, and a word of doubt can come into his head. What do you do with that? You put it out of your mind. Like rubbish that they hand out at the robots the other day of some psychic person. Thank goodness their name was on there so I could pray for that lady. But sometimes you get rubbish. What do you do with it? Do you leave it lying in the car? No, you throw that thing away. You pray for that person, you throw it away. When you get rubbish in your head, that's the devil. He's the father of lies. He plants a thought. You take it to God in prayer. Say, Lord, I cast that lie out of my head in Jesus' name. And I declare the truth. I'm not going to struggle with this issue forever, because You will complete the work You have started in me. It's not me that has to struggle against sin and temptation. Lord, You are with me and You will help me to overcome it. You've given me Your Spirit and the grace to overcome sin. I don't have to stay stuck in this place. I don't have to listen to what people have said to me all my life. That is not who I am. I find my identity in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. These scriptures, these few simple scriptures that are so powerful, I mean, half the world knows them. Okay, maybe not, but a lot of people know these scriptures. But just these few scriptures can get you to a place, if you've made it part of you, you've internalized it. People, try and memorize these scriptures. Get yourself, like David picked up 5 smooth stones to slay Goliath with. Get yourself 5 truths. I don't want to give it to you. I want you to find it. That will quench any doubt or lie or fear or deception that the enemy wants to throw against you. Because you know what? The Word of God is full of those kind of truths. The Lord knows that we need reminding and reminding, because He does so very beautifully throughout His Word. Get yourself that safety net, that impenetrable wall that the enemy's lies cannot penetrate. A place where you know the joy of the Lord every day, where the enemy's not going to get you down, because you're not a victim. You're victorious. We need to start living like Jesus won the battle, because He did. We're part of the winning team. I want to show you guys a short clip now, which I feel is a nice analogy and picture of the Father's heart towards us and His promise to complete the work He's begun in us. It's a a story just before you show it. It's a story of a father who has a disabled son, and the son was born that way. And the doctor said, you know, you best put him in an institution and so on. He's going to be a vegetable all his life. And that happens. People fall for that. Every life is precious to God. I just heard the other day about these super wealthy people in our area, super, super rich, that have a disabled child, and they posted that child to the States. This child's in an institution there. I think they hardly see the child. That's sad. Anyway, this father, he was a military man. Him and his wife, they cried a bit, and then they prayed, and they decided they're going to keep their child at home, and they're going to raise their child. And they got him a special computer so he could start communicating. He didn't have any function of his arms or legs, and you know, he couldn't speak and all of that. And so he actually got a computer. He's actually an intelligent boy. And he could communicate through this computer. And the one day, somehow he heard through some friends, because they really had him integrated in the community and everything. And he heard out from some friends there was like a father-son race or something, fun run. And so he asked his dad if they could do that. And his dad agreed to it. And his dad ran, pushing him in his wheelchair. And they finished the race. Everyone thought that they'll just turn around at the corner and come back, but they finished the 5 mile race or something, and they didn't even come last. They came second last. But then he told his father, you know, when we competed in that race, I completely forgot about my disability, and it felt like I was competing with the other guys. And so that was a very positive thing for the dad to hear. And then they started competing in all these kind of fun runs and stuff, and they eventually worked their way to doing the Ironman triathlon. And so you have this father, and the boy is now fully grown, 60 kilogram man, and his father literally pulls him in a boat that's like he's got a harness, and he pulls him, and that's a 3.8 kilometer swim. And his father is probably like 60 something. And then after that, he built a special bicycle, and he put his like with a cradle in the front, and carries his 60 kilogram son, puts him in the front of the bicycle, and then they cycle 180 kilometers. This is the Ironman. After that, he's got a special wheelchair that he runs with him, and he pushes his son for 42.2 kilometer marathon to finish the Ironman. They finish it within the time limit. There's a 17-hour time limit. I mean, I just finished that within the time limit. Now, he carried and pulled and dragged 60 kilograms with him. That is a super achievement. But he says he wouldn't even do it if it wasn't for his son. And he says that somehow with his son, he can go faster than if he did it on his own. But it's just amazing, his heart for his son, to give his son the best that he can. But what I like about it is a wonderful picture of how it is God doing the work in us. He's faithful in what He has begun, He will complete in us. He will get us to the finish line. We are almost like that son. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot become holy by ourselves. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. God is doing the work. He's pushing us and pulling us all the way to the finish line in life. And so that little bump that you see in the road ahead, don't worry, because God is the engine behind you. He's going to get you over that. Just know this. God is with you and He's going to help you. He's going to get you to the finish line. So it's a wonderful picture of like God the Father and us as His child, and how we will finish the race because He's fully committed to us. Okay. Shall we watch that clip? I'll just dim the lights.
imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for your tears? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight, Lord, for your faithfulness towards us and your love. Your overwhelming, incomprehensible love toward each and every one of us, Father. We can just imagine ourselves, Lord God, in the place of that boy and know, Lord, that you are carrying us through this life. None of us could save ourselves or even come close to that, Lord. We need you, Lord. And we want to thank you that you are always right there with us, Lord, and you are busy helping us to the finish line. Thank you that we can be part of your master plan. Thank you for your love, Lord. And forgive us, Lord, where we've doubted that at times. We've wondered, we've doubted, we've feared, Lord, you might have abandoned us or forgotten about us, that you don't care or don't know about our situation, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. We believe in Jesus. We believe in you, Lord. We believe in what you did for each of us at the cross. And we declare that work is finished. It is done. It is enough. Your grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. And we know, we choose to believe you will take us to the finish line, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We can just surrender, Lord, those challenges, those problems, those things that we fear, Lord, those doubts. We can surrender it. We can lay it down at the foot of the cross. I ask, Lord, that your peace that transcends and surpasses understanding will come over each and every one of us now in this place. It will quench every doubt, dispel every fear. Come and bless us, Lord, with greater measure of faith. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. That you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. You just keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. If you in particular have been battling with thoughts in your head that you know are not scriptural, thoughts that have been attacking the character or the attributes of God, you've been struggling maybe with certain doubts or fears, I believe the Lord wants to silence those here tonight and just bless you with such a measure of faith in who He is and His faithfulness towards you. So no one's looking around. You just raise your hand. You raise your hand to God. You say, God, that's me. God, come and bless me. Lord, I want to be confident like Paul was, that the work that you begun in me, you will complete. I want to be able to say, I'm fully persuaded. Nothing can separate me from you or from your love. Lord, I pray that for each one here that is called on you tonight. I pray, Lord, you will do that for them. I pray, Lord, as you have done for me, as you have blessed me with a confidence in who you are and in your faithfulness towards me, that's not me, Lord, that's you that have done it for me. I pray you will do it for each one here tonight as well. Bless us, Lord, with a greater measure of faith in who you are, and what you have done for us, what you will still do in our lives. You are faithful. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I enjoyed spending the time with you. Anyone has any prayer needs or prayer requests, I'd love to pray with you after this. Otherwise, please enjoy some tea and cookies, coffee. Have a wonderful week. Cheers, guys. Thanks.